Welcome to the Nations Church podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
But I want to go to the book of Judges. If you know a bit about your Bible, you'd know that the book of Judges accounts for a time in history of God's people where they have no king. But God appoints these judges. There's not like a law court judge, the picture that you might have of a judge. These judges, another word that's appropriate for us would be these leaders that were charged with the oversight of the nation of Israel. And one such judge was a man by the name of Gideon. Gideon lived around about 1200 years before Jesus came. And it's an incredible account. You really should read it yourself. If you've been around my preaching a little bit, you'd know that I try and make the Bible come alive because I want to kind of talk you into reading the Bible yourself. You need to read the Bible yourself because it'll change your life, amen? It's one thing for me to read it for you and to preach it for you, but there's something about you reading it yourself. So go back to the book of Judges, read this account about Gideon. And when we find out about Gideon's life, when we introduce him immediately, there are a couple of things that spring up from the Word of God. The first thing that springs to mind when I read about Gideon is that Gideon was really insecure. He was really lacking in confidence about himself. He's really insecure about who he was. He didn't think he had enough talent. He didn't think he had enough gifting. He didn't think his lineage, his family line was good enough. He didn't think he had enough resource. He didn't think he had enough capability. He didn't think he had enough qualification. He really didn't think he had what it took to become who God had called him to be. How have you ever been in the position in your life where you feel like you don't have what it takes? Four of you, the rest of you got, nah, I got what it takes. Come on. Like you felt like, I don't really have what it takes. I have less than what it takes to become who God has called me to be. Now, he was insecure about his fighting abilities, and yet God called him to be a mighty warrior or a mighty man of valor, it says in the Bible, to deliver God's people out of the hand of the Midianites. Now, if you think about God, put yourself in Gideon's position, but if you think about God, and he's calling this man called Gideon, who he knows is insecure, who he knows thinks that he doesn't have what it takes, if you have a theology of God like I have in different seasons of my life, you would have thought that God, fully knowing Gideon's insecurity, fully knowing Gideon's incapability, fully knowing Gideon was not qualified to do what God was calling him to do, he would set Gideon up to succeed. Would he not? How many of you have ever asked someone to do something for you, but you give them what they need to do it for you? Makes sense? If you ask them to like go and get something for you from a far away, you say, hey, take my car, here's my credit card, go and get the job done. Now, you would have thought that God would have done exactly the same thing for Gideon. Now, sometimes we have a theology that God would actually give us everything we need and more before he calls us into our calling and our purpose. But tonight, I'm actually going to go into the Word of God to show you that that's often not the case. We pick up the account in Judges chapter 7, and it says this in verse 1, then Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, another name for Gideon, and all the people who were with him rose early and encamped beside the well of Harod. So the camp of the Midianites was on the north side of them by the hill of Moreh in the valley. And the Lord said to Gideon, the people who are with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel claim glory for itself against me, saying, my own hand has saved me. Now therefore, proclaim in the hearing of the people, saying, whoever is fearful and afraid, let him turn and depart at once from Mount Gilead. And 22,000 of the people returned, and 10,000 remained. Say 22,000. Then say 10,000. Come on, all together. 22,000. 10,000. Those numbers are going to matter in a minute. Verse 4, but the Lord said to Gideon, the people are still too many. Bring them down to the water and I will test them for you there. Then it will be that of whom I say to you, this one shall go with you, the same shall go with you. And of whomever I say to you, this one shall not go with you, the same shall not go. So he brought the people down to the water and the Lord said to Gideon, everyone who laps from the water with his tongue as a dog laps, you shall set apart by himself. Likewise, everyone who goes down on his knees to drink. And the number of those who lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, was 300 men, but all the rest of the people got down on their knees to drink water. Then the Lord said to Gideon, by the 300 men who lapped, I will save you and deliver the Midianites into your hand. Let all the other people go, every man to his place. So the people took provisions and their trumpets in their hands, and he sent away all the rest of Israel, every man to his tent, and retained those 300 men. Now the camp of Midian was below him in the valley. Can we give God a big shout of praise for that incredible text? Thank you so much, Kat. Tonight, my subject matter is this. Less is more. Less is more. This sermon the Lord actually gave me while we were away on holidays, and it came out of a sentiment that I was sensing about the narrative that the world is trying to give us, and so many of us believers actually believe this narrative, believe this lie, and it's the fact that if you are living in the 21st century world, particularly in the Western world, you actually don't have enough. There's a lot of conversation right now about this cost of living crisis. You don't earn enough to live like you want to live. And then you look on your social media feed, there's all of these amazing fit influencers on Instagram with like 8-packs, abs, and it tells you that you don't have what it takes to look like them. And then you drive around nice suburbs and there's beautiful houses, and it's a reminder to you that you don't earn enough to live in the kind of house that you want to live in. And then you see the nice clothes that maybe are, you know, in the shops, and it's a reminder to you that you don't have what it takes to look like that or to wear those clothes. And the world constantly tells us that we are less than. And so we come to this place in our conversation, in our journey with God, that we have this mindset that we actually are less than or have less or short on resource, short on talent, short on finance, short on time, short on availability, short on capability to do all of the things God is actually calling us to do. Now, the fact is that we all are short of all that we need to become who God wants us to be. That is the fact. But we need to incorporate the greater truth that in God, He makes up our shortfall. But if we were to live solely with the fact that we all fall short, we are less than what we need to be all that we are in God, by taking God out, then we're left with one of two things. The pendulum can swing one of two ways. On one side of the equation, we maybe deploy our lives in desperate pursuit of more money, more resources, better looks, more talent, more capabilities, more ability, whatever. Or the other end of the spectrum, we just give up because we think that, hey, we will never be that, whatever that is, and we just walk away from all that God has called us to be. I'm going to expose the lie of the devil over your life today and set you free, if you've ever been held hostage by your less, to tell you today that God can do more with your less than you can do with your more. I want to set you free today if you've ever been bound by your perception of what you don't have, to tell you today that God can do more with your less than you can do with your more. Because we always think that if we start off with more, it's going to be better. If we start off with more gifting, then we'll have more outcome and success in God. That if we start off with more support, then we're just going to do better things in God. But it doesn't always work that way. And for some of us, we maybe sit around even wishing upon a star, wishing that God would actually give us more before we actually say yes to the call of God. Come on, somebody. Rather than saying, God, I trust you to do more with my less, than to try and do on my own with my more. And for so many of us, we have this internal dialogue. If only I had more time, then I'll serve. If only I had more money, then I'll tithe and be generous. If only I had more resource, then, you know, I can do more good things for God. If only I had a bigger house, then maybe I can host Connect. If only I was married, then maybe I could fulfill the call of God. You see how toxic that is? If only my husband was this, then I would be more that. If only my kids was more this, then I would be more that. I want to dispel the myth to you today, the lie, and smash that. If you ever see your less as a disadvantage, you need to know that God sees your less as actually a miracle in the making. We need to change the lens of how we see our less. Maybe today you've been seeing your less as a handicap, but God sees it as the beginnings of a breakthrough. Maybe you see your less as a setback, but God sees it as a setup for your testimony. I don't know whatever your less looks like in your head. Today, we're going to flip the script because God is writing a different story about the less you think is holding you back. You know, the lie that we need to have more, to be more, starts in the very genesis of humanity. When God first created Adam and Eve, He says to them, Adam and Eve, all that you need is found here in the tree of life. You need to eat from the tree of life. In the garden, there's also another tree called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. From that tree, don't eat until the serpent comes with this lie. Oh, surely there's more that God isn't telling you. Don't you want to know what it's like to eat from that? I don't really think you can be all you can be without also eating from that second tree. Come on now, somebody. I don't think you can be, don't you want to be like God? Why don't you eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? It's a lie because they were already like God. They were already created in the image of God. So we settle for this lie that what we have, what God has given us, is not enough. So we try and scrap and scrounge and try and get more. Or we just give up because we think we fall short. Today, I want you to flip the script on what is in your hand and don't despise your less. In fact, this text in Judges chapter 7, God was actually teaching Gideon and every reader of the Bible from that moment onwards this very, very simple thesis, and it's simply this: if you commit your less to God, He will turn your less into more than you need. So the Bible says that God comes to Gideon via the voice of an angel and says, Gideon, I want you to lead your people to defeat the Midianite army. The Bible tells us the number of soldiers or fighting force that Gideon actually starts off with is 32,000 soldiers. That's a fair fighting force. Would you agree? Yeah. The next question is, if I was Gideon and I've got 32,000 soldiers, then how many Midianites do I need to kill? How big is their army? Well, let's look in the Bible, Judges chapter 7, verse 12. Now, the Midianites and Amalekites, which is like this cohort, this ally of enemy, all of the people of the east were lying in the valley as numerous as locusts, and their camels were without number as the sand by the seashore in the multitude. Now, if I was Gideon, I'll be going, "Oop! I've got 32,000 soldiers, but the enemy's army, it's uncountable. We can't count them. Now, I've got 32,000 soldiers. That's pretty good. Now, the Bible is not specific on how many Midianites were actually there ready for battle that day, but it does describe it to us. It's like a swarm of locusts. Their camels was like sand on the seashore. And so some scholars believe that it could possibly be in that valley, probably about over 100,000 soldiers. That's where your accurate estimation starts to get a little bit vague by the naked eye. Makes sense to you? So it made sense that the writer of Judges was estimating maybe 100, 120,000. Now, God says to Gideon, see the Midianite army that I need you to defeat. There are about 100, 120,000 soldiers. The 32,000 soldiers that you got, it's a little bit too much for the kind of miracle I want to perform today. And says to Gideon, I want you to stand up in front of all your soldiers, all 32,000 of them, and say, any of you who are chicken, feel free to go home. If I was Gideon, I'd be saying, stop, God, stop. I need every single one of them. I need every single one of them. Don't tell them to go home. I'll take the cowards. Thank you very much. They're fighting today. But God says, Gideon, tell your army, if any of you are afraid, pack up your lunch and go home. Now, Gideon would have thought, man, hopefully I've got a brave army. Maybe 10 dudes, maybe 12 dudes, maybe 25 chickens and cowards at best. 22,000 of them bailed. 32,000 now is whittled down to 10,000. And then God says, well, you know that 10,000? Still too many for the kind of miracle I want to perform today. So Gideon, take them down to the river, and I want you to ask them all to drink. The ones that cup the water in their hands and start lapping it like a dog standing up, put to one side. And the guys that get on their knees and start drinking directly from the brook, put them on one side. 300 men only cup the water in their hands, lap it like a dog. 9,700 of them get down on their knees and drink directly from the brook. Now, if you were Gideon, you know where this is going. God is whittling the number down. If I was Gideon, I'd be thinking, God, send the 300 home. No. God sends the 9,700 home and leaves Gideon with the 300. I don't know about you today, but the Bible is reminding us that God wanted to whittle down Gideon's army down to 300 because God wanted to show Gideon that he could do more with 300 soldiers in his hand than Gideon could do with 32,000 soldiers in his hand. Here's the thing, you know, I reckon the more we live life, and I'm talking to people that are kind of my age, let's just say, you know, 40 years and over, the more we live life, I reckon the more risk-averse we actually are. The more we live life, the more we actually want security, the more we want assurance, and the less we are actually willing to apply faith to our Christianity. And so we create this more than enough theology, which is also correct, but we want a God that only gives us more than enough before we step out. But that's not the entire God of the Bible. Come on, somebody. There are seasons in our lives where God will give us less than we should have in order for us to actually activate our faith. Believe it or not, you tell people that you are people of faith. So here's why God sometimes allows us to have less than what we think we need, is so that we can actually have our faith at work and at play and staying fresh in our journey with God. Because faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence or assurance or confidence of things not yet seen. But how many of you know that in our Christian journey, we want to see the more than enough before we say yes to God? Therefore, disqualifying ourselves from having faith, which is the evidence of things not yet seen. But less requires you to have assurance in something you cannot see. 300 soldiers. You cannot see the battle being won. 300 versus 100 plus thousand. I don't know about you, but if I was Gideon, right? I would do the calculations, do the maths. If there's like 32,000 soldiers, maybe 120,000 Midianite soldiers, if we all kind of like stab four guys, we might get out of this alive. I would rather organize a battle array of 32,000 Israelite soldiers and rely on my own training and my own sword than to trust God with 300 miserable dudes that probably don't even want to be there. Versus 120,000 Midianite soldiers. But God has a different view on our less. And today he is reversing the script and he's saying to you, don't you despise less, because in the kingdom, less can always mean more. You know, there are many descriptors of God in the Bible, but one very unpopular descriptor of God, which not many preachers preach about, is that God is also a pruner. Yes, he's a multiplier. Yes, he's a blesser. Yes, he gives you favor. But God's also a pruner. Do you know what a pruner is? Not like the dude that drives prunes. A pruner is like literally the guy that chops trees, prunes back a bush. God's actually a pruner of the vine. He pulls it, cuts it right back, because sometimes he wants to work with less in order to show you that he's the God of them all. And there are seasons where we've despised the less, and God is changing the script on us to say, hey, don't look down on your less, because in the kingdom of God, less is more. So the next question really is this: what do you need to do with your less in order for God to turn it into more? The answer is very simple. It's simple and yet it's difficult for us to do. And it's simply this: you need to put your less in his hands. Whatever your less looks like, that funny old crazy dysfunctional family that you come from, that small little amount in your bank account, that very meager amount of talent or ability, that not much time you have, that small little living room that you've got in this share house that you've got. What is it that you think is your less that's limiting you right now? Put that in his hands, because you need to understand that your less in the kingdom of God is actually more. We see this everywhere in scripture. Here's one example: the feeding of the 5,000. It's in four Gospels: Matthew 14, Mark 6, Luke 9, John 6. The disciples were walking with Jesus. 5,000 men plus women plus children are hungry. It's the end of the day, right? They all need feeding. And the disciples look at each other and go, man, there's like Jesus. He's probably not going to do anything today because he's pretty tired. So it's left up to us 12 dudes to be the waiters to serve probably 12 to 15,000 people with no food to be seen. And if there was a church committee they were going to put together, the church committee would probably conclude, this is an unviable hospitality event. We need to send them all home to the villages to get their own food. And yet Jesus says, no, you feed them. What do you got, boys? Less. 5 loaves, 2 fish. Jesus says, put it here. What's your less? Put it here. What's your less? What do you see as little? Put it here. Jesus blessed it, broke it, gave it to the 12 guys. And in the kingdom of God, less became more, became 12 basketfuls. Come on, somebody needs to shout amen. We are reading about that miracle 2,000 years later because some 12 dudes decided that their less was okay in the hands of God, that Jesus blessing it, breaking it, splitting it up is going to actually turn into the more. We would not be reading about the miracle today had the disciples done the sensible thing and just allowed them all to go home to the villages, but they did the faith thing and allowed their less to become more. Come on, somebody shout amen. Think about a young shepherd boy by the name of David. He's about 17 years old. How many of you are 17 years old in the room? Or younger? It's a lot of you. David shows up with bread and cheese to give to his brothers who are fighting in the army against the Philistines in this place called the Valley of Elah. when he gets there, this like this 9 foot tall Philistine giant soldier called Goliath. Now you could forgive David for thinking these things. I am less in stature than the giant. I am less trained as a soldier than that giant. I am less armed than that giant. I am less armored than that giant. You could forgive David for turning his back and going, oh man, that's not for me. But the God inside of David knew that less is more. And so God takes David down to the brook, and maybe like it's happened 1,000 times before, David sits in the serenity of the quiet of the bubbling brook with maybe the water lapping over his toes, and God says, look down, son. See those smooth stones? I want you to pick 5. If I was David, I'd go, what? Have you seen him? You want me to pick 5 stones to kill him? Surely you're gonna make miraculously like an armor maybe and some swords and some crossbows and maybe a machine gun to take him down? 5 smooth stones. But if you know that in God, less is more. God says, David, just pick 5 smooth stones. And even then, God didn't need 4 of them. All that David needed was 1 tiny pebble. In God, less is more. Come on, somebody needs to put their less in the hands of God, because you are so close to a miracle. What God wanted to teach David was that, David, I can do more with your less than you can do with Saul's armor walking around. So many of us, we try and get the Saul's armor before we... Oh, man, I want to preach to this side. I'm rusty. You guys need to help me out. For so many of us, we wait for the Saul's armor. We wait for the Saul's sword. We wait for the Saul's shield. And we clamor around trying to pretend we're all that before we answer the call of God. Just put your less in the hands of God and watch him turn your less into the more. I think about this lady in 1 Kings chapter 17. It's in the middle of a drought. She's this widow in this place called Zarephath. You should read the Bible yourself. See how sneaky I am? Telling all these stories so you can get interested in the Bible. It's my game. And Elijah the prophet, who represents the presence or the person of God in the Old Testament, comes up to this lady's house. And as they begin to have a conversation, this lady literally says to him, sir, I know you found me at a very difficult time, and it was custom at the time for women to offer men hospitality when they came. She literally says this to him, all that we have left is a bit of flour and oil left in a jar, and I'm going to bake it, my son and I are going to eat it, and then after that we're both going to lie down and we're going to die. Elijah, the man of God representing God, sister, well, why don't you take the oil and the flour that you have left and bake a cake for me? What? How many of you ever felt like God has asked you to give something when you think you barely have enough for yourself? Surely, generosity and hospitality in our mind only happens when, like, you've got more than enough. I do that all the time. I make a really big pot of curry, go, oh man, that's too much for us to eat across the weekend. I ring someone. Hey man, I got some crab curry for you, or chili crab. Do you want some, Gareth? Yeah, boy, I'm coming over. That's what he says. Takes half of my chili crab, right? Because I've made enough. That's me being generous. But in God, he don't wait for the more before you give. This woman bakes the cake and gives it to the prophet. The prophet eats it, and as he's eating, he's smiling because he knows he's representing God. He's teaching her a kingdom principle that less is more. And as she does that, gives him all of her less, the flour and the oil did not run out. I'm wondering today if this is setting somebody free tonight. I'm wondering today if there's somebody here that has been withholding your less from God. He's telling you today, put it in his hands, because he can do so much more with your less than you can do with your more. Somebody give God a big shout of praise today. And yet, so many of us have anxiety over our less, don't we? I reckon the fact that we have at times some sense of anxiety, we're anxious over how little we have in terms of our talent, our gifting, our time, our resource, our capabilities, our qualifications, our finance, whatever it is. Our anxiety over our less is actually an issue of trust. At the very heart of it, the spider of it, not the cobweb, but the spider, the root cause of our anxiety over our less is an issue of trust. And when you think about it, every excuse we've ever given God as to why we can't has always been on the account of less. Has it not? someone's asked you to take up Connect Leadership, I can't because I don't have the time. God puts it on your heart to go on a mission trip, I can't because I don't have the money. God asks you to step into something and maybe talk to someone at a bus stop. Maybe it's Go Week and go up to a stranger on the street and share the love. I can't because I don't have the confidence. Come on, somebody. Most of our excuses that we've ever given God as to why we can't has been on the account of less. Every limitation we've imposed on ourselves has been on the account that we've calculated our less and gone, our less isn't enough. But it's time for us to put our less into His hands and understand that in the kingdom of God, less is actually more. This is going to set somebody free tonight. Put your less into His hands and watch Him turn that less into the more that you need. But the reason why we don't do that is because we don't trust Him to do with our less, and we want more before we step up. But how we view our less reveals to us how much we trust God to do something with it. The relationship you have with your less, whatever your limitation is right now, the way that you navigate around it every day, how you look at it, how you view it, reveals to you immediately whether you trust God to do something with it or not. And whenever I fretted over my less, it's always revealed to me the level of trust that I have in Him. Come on, you guys following so far. The reason why I find it hard to trust God, and you may be in the same place, is this, because trusting in God actually means dependency on Him. I was taught from a young age to be self-dependent. I was taught from a young age to be independent. I was taught from a young age to make it on my own. And trust me, if I was Gideon, I would rather take down 120,000 Midianites with 32,000 Israelite soldiers. If we try and stab four guys, maybe we can get out of there alive. We got half a fighting chance. 300, no chance. It means I have to depend on You, God. It's time to answer the invitation again as a church. To live a life where we're actually okay and see the will and the purpose of God in our less. Stop despising it and stop saying no on the account of what we calculate as our less and say, God, I trust You. I depend on You with my less. Here's the thing. I want you to think about it with me for a second. If God would actually grant you your wishes, which is to give you more than enough in everything, you just had more than enough talent than you need. Sing like Crystal. Be good looking like Dan. Be anointed like Sydney. You're like a combination, the unicorn. You're like this amazing. You got like, you know, a billionaire's fortune. You've got all the things you want. Imagine if you had more than enough of everything, you'd have no need of God. None of you would actually even be considering needing to pray. Why would you? Do you know that our most poorly supported gathering in our church is our revival prayer nights? You know what that tells me? We have a church full of people that have everything. We have no need of nothing. Don't tell me you have needs. If you had needs, you'd be here on your knees. If you were the widow at Zarephath with a bit of oil and flour left in a jar, you'd be here on your knees. If you were a Gideon, 300 facing 120,000, you'd be here on your knees. But the fact is, we have air-conditioned cars. We have beautiful houses. We have all the food we need. We have food that we throw out because we waste. We have, come on, somebody. We have travel opportunities. We have holidays that we plan. We've got things to do, places to go. We don't have need, but it's time for the Western Church to answer the invitation again and go, hey, hold up a second. There are seasons in my life where I actually have less, and I'm not going to pursue the more. I'm going to trust that God is going to do more with my less than I can do with my more. So don't be surprised if this year you find yourself in a season of pruning. God's actually pruning all the excess stuff, all the distractions, all the luxuries away. And you go, God, this is making me feel uncomfortable. Flip the script and go, God, I'm going to answer. This is a 300 soldier moment. 32,000 down to 300. 32,000 bucks down to 300. 32,000 worth of talent down to 300. It's a pruning back down. 32,000 worth of time down to 300. I'm so busy. Just see that as an opportunity to answer the call of God to say, God, I put my less into Your hands. And as I do, I'm going to trust that You're going to do more with my less than I can do with my more. Some of you are being held back right now with your less because you're waiting for God to give you the whatever it is, fill in the blanks, give you the more time, give you the husband that you want, the wife that you want, the house that you need before you run it, lead a Connect, serve God, answer the call of God, be on a mission trip, go to college, whatever. You're waiting for the more. Can I suggest to you today, if you keep waiting for the more, you will actually miss out on all that God has in store for you. Because the truth of this, and this is going to challenge your lens, is this. The lesser your less is, the greater your testimony will be. The lesser your less is, the greater your testimony will be. If Gideon was given straight up, this insecure, not confident guy, God says, poor bro, man. Look, man, I've asked him to take down the Midianites. Let's give him 120,000 soldiers, like one soldier to one soldier. Just set him up to succeed. We would see the story as something completely different. Like 120,000 soldiers, took down 120,000 soldiers. Well done, Israelites. Good on you. Fantastic. Right? 32,000 soldiers, even bigger effort, like... four guys got out of there alive. Like, you know, we killed, every soldier killed four Midianite. It's pretty good. That's a pretty good story. We'd have done 10,000. It would have even been a bigger story. But the big story was that 300. 300. But do you know that as spectacular as 300 Israelite soldiers, taking down 100,000 plus Midianite soldiers, was for us to read, that was not God's original intention. He had an even bigger miracle plan. When God first comes to some of you, you know, where's he going with this? When God first comes to Gideon, he's hiding in a wine press. He's threshing wheat in a wine press. If you don't know the context of that, that is a weird thing to do. It's like doing something you're not supposed to do in a place you're not supposed to be doing it in. Right? God comes to him through the voice of an angel and says, Gideon, you mighty man of valor. And then he starts the whole rant. I am the least of my clan. My family's so mid. Please don't pick me. Like, it's just like my dad is like, oh man, you don't even want to know. My mom, oh my gosh, I'm nobody, right? God says, Gideon, I want you to lead a victory over the Midianites. And this is what he says. The Lord said to him, surely, Judges 6:16, I will be with you and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man. Oh man, you guys not getting this. 32,000, God says too many people for the miracle I want to perform today. Whittle it down. 10,000 soldiers, still too many people for the kind of miracle I want to perform today. God originally intended for us to read a story of one Gideon killing 120,000 Midianites. But God thought to himself, man, if I whittle it right down to just him, this guy is going to freak out and lose his mind. I might give him 300 just so he doesn't absolutely lose it. I wonder today, how many people are in the room? Are there miracles and breakthroughs that have never been written because you've despised your less? I wonder today if God somehow, because of your lack of faith, he's had to meet you halfway. But he actually had a bigger testimony in mind. I wonder today whether there are some people who are willing to surrender their wrong view of their less and say to God, God, I'm not going to despise my 300. I'm going to see it today as a setup for the greatest testimony I'll ever have. Some of you have been journeying with sickness in your body and you've seen that as a limitation. Why don't you surrender that to God and see God do a miracle? Come on, somebody. Some of you have a family lineage that you say, man, oh, if you only knew the kind of family I come from, I want you to surrender that less that you think you're not qualified, can't be used by God. Some of you have pasts that are so dark that you think God can't use you because it's less than holy, less than acceptable. God is saying, hand that to me and your less will become more. There's so many of us walk with a wrong perception of the less. See, if the enemy can't steal your salvation from you, he will sell you a lie that you are less than. Stay quiet. Don't step out. You will never be able to do this, Gideon. The reason why I think God whittled it down from 32,000 to 10,000 to 300 when he wanted one was found as I land this thing in Judges 7 verse 2. We read this and it says this, and the Lord said to Gideon, the people who are with you, the soldiers, the 32,000 of them, are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel claim glory for itself. Oh, man. Wow. Wow. So good. You inherit lots of money. You win the Powerball, get millions of dollars, you feel generous. I'm gonna shout my friends a party, buy them some lunch. Fantastic, good on you, all glory goes to you. But when the widow has two mites left, she puts all that she has to the glory of God. God gets all the glory. You have amazing talent. You use it and you sing awesome. Great, good on you. But we're not trained as a singer, but all you have is a heart of worship. God gets the glory. Come on, somebody, you with me? If you've got more than enough and you use your more than enough, fantastic. All glory goes to you. Everyone's going to wow at you. You get the glory. But sometimes God says, I'm going to prune you so you're less than. And then when you put your less into my hands, I get all the glory because I will not share my glory with any other. Someone give God a big shout of praise. And I think sometimes the Western church has taken glory for itself because we have too much. I always wondered, and I traveled the world, I've always wondered why there are so many more miracles in the third world and in the developing world than there is in the Western world. There's more miracles that they see in one day than we will ever see in one year. Why is it? Because we have too much. It's time for us to be okay with a less sometimes and say that God in you, in the kingdom, less is more. Someone give God a big shout of praise. Maybe it's okay to not have all of the AI and the TikTok and all the internet and all the modern things. Sometimes it's actually okay to go, God, I ain't got much, but whatever I have, I'm gonna put in your hands. The little flour and oil in a jar, the five loaves, two fish, the couple of nets, I'm gonna drop that. You know, I'm gonna put that in your hands. God rarely comes to people that have more than enough and calls them to great things. He says to Abraham, Abraham, I want to make you the father of many nations. You think that if I was Abraham, I'd be thinking, man, what, you're going to give me like 40 sons? Give them one son. Wow. And even then, ask Abraham to put him on the altar. Wow. Comes to a guy called Moses, which is a stutterer. It says, I want you to speak to Pharaoh. I can't. I'm an orphan. I'm on the run. I can't do it. Put your less in my hands. It's all over scripture. Musicians, come and join me. This is what I want you to learn tonight. It's simply this. If you've allowed your less to frame why you can't fill in the blanks in God, tonight He's going to set you free. And so many of you are going to walk out here and you're going to change the world because your less is going to be more in God's hands. Come on, stand at your feet right across this room. Is that helpful to you? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more info, please visit nationschurch.com.